A Man Alone by Andrew Rissick. Jennifer, with Ronald Pickup as Philip Tremaine.
That was good. I feel much better. One has one's ups and downs. I feel much better now. You're very good health. Cheers. I got a taste for drinking grease. That's a long time ago now. I'd been there for ages. In the evenings, when the sun went down, I'd put my feet up and start on the Scotch. I had a villa on a little island off the mainland. I don't think I was lonely, but in 1962, when Jennifer turned up, I can't say I was sorry. She came in and reorganized the place. And she did try to get me off the booze. And I remember telling her, I said, look, alcohol's the oldest drug in the world. Very effective, don't forget that. At least with drink you know what you're doing. These days I see a doctor. I tell him the same thing.
It's all right in moderation, Mr. Tremaine. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that. But don't overdo it. How are you feeling?
I'm all right.
Are you sleeping?
Not really.
Are the pills helping?
Not really, no.
Do you miss the sleep? Do you feel tired?
Oh, not tired, exactly.
How do you feel, then?
Tired.
Tired, but not sleepy?
Not supposed to.
It'll pass. You aren't exhausted, physically speaking. It might help if you were. Do you think about your wife a lot?
Rather a lot, yes.
Well, that's no bad thing. Do you try to shut it out?
Sometimes, yes.
Do you succeed? Does it work?
No.
Mr. Tremaine, I think you're going to have to let this take its course. Don't put up too much of a fight. This is common unhappiness. That's all.
He gives me some new pills. They don't work. I loathe this bloody great house. It's much too large. Still stinks of Jennifer. When I go up to bed, I can still smell her clothes in the room. Sometimes, late in the evening, I pick something up, something that belonged to her, and I sniff it, see if it still smells at all, if there's any trace. But when I do that, it just smells like itself. She might never have touched it. When we lived in Greece, I used to work till about 6 or 7 in the evening, and then I'd sit back, slip my shirt off and start on the Scotch. He used to hide it in a little box she knew nothing about. She tried to confiscate it, but I told her it was the heat and needed it. I used to shout at her. I used to say, it's my life, I'll do what I bloody well like. She'd shout back, yes, look at you. Look at you, for God's sake. One evening in the early summer of 1964, I decided to kill her.
Philip! Hello, love. I'm sorry I'm late. There was the most amazing light on the sea. I had to put a wash down at once. I'll just clean the brushes. You all right? You there?
Stop, for Christ's sake, you stupid woman.
What's up?
Come here.
I'm going to change. I'll be with you in a tick.
Come here. I want to talk to you.
No, Philip. I'm going to change.
Jennifer. Oh, luck.
I met some students. 3 of them, just off the boat. One of them's writing a book about Stalin.
God almighty.
What?
Do you realise how you sound? You any idea what you sound like?
What?
Turn that damn thing off.
No, I'm having a shower.
I know what you're doing. Turn it off.
I'll be with you in a minute.
Talk about Stalin, for God's sake. What the hell are you talking about?
He reckons there's a market. All those books about Hitler. So he thought he'd write one about Stalin. Oof.
I warn you. I'm going to kill you in a minute.
Sling me that towel, will you?
What towel?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Philip. There's a towel on the bed. Just give it to me, will you?
God knows why you need a towel in this heat.
Apparently, one evening, Moscow Radio broadcast a Mozart concerto and Stalin was listening and he liked it. And he rang them up and asked if there was a recording, which there wasn't. It was live, you see, so... And they didn't dare tell him that. So they said, yes, Comrade Stalin, of course there's a record. We'll have it on your desk at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And so they got the orchestra out of bed and the conductor, everyone. And they dashed into the studio. It was all pretty fraught. People were losing bowel control. The conductor actually collapsed. But at 9 o'clock the next morning, the record was there on Stalin's desk. And apparently he was awfully pleased with it.
Mm. I see.
Isn't it revealing? I thought it was. About the effect he had on people.
Mm. That's what you've been doing all day, is it? Finding out stuff like that? That's all you've done all day? Sat there listening to students talking about Stalin? Students who can't even remember him? Must have been about 8 when he died all day. Is that what you've been doing?
I made some sketches.
That's all you do, isn't it? Talk. That's all you're capable of doing, isn't it? You can't actually do anything useful, I mean. I mean, you just talk, don't you? You are the most useless, passive, pointless, colourless, imitative person I've ever known. You don't do anything, do you? You just talk.
Where did you find the scotch, by the way?
Oh, there's some scotch in the house, is there? I thought you chucked all the booze out of the window last night. You know, you decided to reform me. You had one of your spots of missionary zeal, so you started throwing my things out of the window.
3 bottles?
Yes, 3 bloody bottles, not 3 empty bottles, 3 full new bottles. Glass all over the road, or hadn't you noticed?
I cleared it up.
What?
I went out there first thing this morning and cleared it up. I didn't want some child cutting his feet.
Yes, that's typical, isn't it? You can't leave it there. You have to go and sweep it up. I've gone to incredible lengths to make you leave. I take food out of the fridge and leave it rotting in the sun. I spill booze over the furniture. I wash nothing up, absolutely nothing. And then with the house like a pigsty, I go out for a short walk, whistling, pleased with myself, thinking, well, she won't put up with this. She's bound to go this time. And when I get back, 10 minutes later, what do I find? I find you've cleaned the whole place up. Everything. Everywhere. A miracle. God knows how you do this. It's an act of monumental ingenuity and willpower. People spend their whole lives striving after the perfection you achieve so effortlessly in 10 bloody minutes.
I thought I didn't do anything. A minute ago, I thought I just talked.
You don't. That's exactly my point. You don't do anything remotely worthwhile. It's all so incredibly bloody pointless. That's exactly what I mean.
You can't manage on your own.
Can't I?
No, you can't. So you should be damn glad there's someone who's prepared to lend a hand.
I was here for 6 years on this island before you turned up. What the hell do you think I did all the time? How the hell do you think I managed?
You didn't. Most of the time you were pissed. You've often said so.
Pissed?
That's right.
I wrote a whole bloody book in those 6 years. Those 6 years I was pissed. A book that's been published back in England that's actually got some rather complimentary reviews that hasn't in fact been taken as the ravings of a drunkard. You do know that, don't you? I mean, you do remember something about that?
You wrote bits and pieces. It only got put together after I came along.
Oh, I see. I got it wrong. You wrote it, didn't you? It was all you, wasn't it? I mean, I had nothing to do with it. It was you, wasn't it?
No.
No!
I'm not denying you wrote the thing.
Oh, God!
I would just take a little credit for rescuing you from the gutter.
Do you know why I haven't written another?
You have.
Do you know why? It's taken me 2 years, because I know bloody well why. I think it's because I've got a woman around my neck who's... strangling me to death,
who won't go, who's invaded my life and has taken me over, who won't go, whatever I do, whatever I say, who simply will not go, and who I am, therefore, going to have to physically kill.
You couldn't kill anyone.
Couldn't I? Couldn't I?
Of course not. Look at you. You can hardly stand up. Philip, you're right. You tripped. Have you hurt yourself?
Oh, God.
Oh, are you all right, Philip?
Sick.
What?
I'm sick, I think.
Right.
Where's...
Here, come on. Come on, you'll be all right.
Why do I do it? I mean, why do I have to behave like that?
I don't know.
I mean, why do I always have to behave like that? It's not as if I liked it. I mean, I hate myself afterwards. I do. I feel dreadful. And it always ends in tears, doesn't it? I mean, my tears, not yours. Don't seem to be able to reduce you to that anymore, thank God.
You shouldn't drink on an empty stomach. I've often told you that.
I don't know why I have to behave like that. I really don't. I mean, we're really terribly fond of each other, aren't we? We're so happy so much of the time. I suppose it's the price one pays, the price of happiness or something. God, it's a beautiful night. Look at it. All around us. Paradise.
I'll clear up.
Oh, no, I'll do that. Leave it, please.
Well, I honestly don't mind.
No, please, I mind. You've had enough for one day. I'll do it in the morning.
Oh, all right. So long as you do...
I will, I promise. Come here. Isn't it lovely?
Yes, it is.
There's something in me, Jennifer. Well, there is. It's just something in me. If there wasn't, I'd be fine. I don't know what it is. I've never known. Not much use to anyone, really. I know that.
I love you, Philip.
You must wonder sometimes. I know you wonder sometimes. But I love you.
I know.
I'm not brutal, am I? I sometimes think I'm the most evil man in the world.
You shouldn't drink. Well, you've got an appalling temper, but you're not brutal.
I keep thinking I really mustn't lose this girl. It'll be the end of me. I lie in bed sometimes in the morning pretending to be asleep. Did you know?
No, I didn't.
I watch your dress, the way you move. I know exactly why we stay together. Can you forgive it? This behaviour of mine. I don't find it easy the way we live. Whereas you... You, I suspect, are brimful of wonder and innocence. Good nature. You're the most perfect friend anyone could possibly have.
That's a lovely thing to say.
I mean it. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
I tell you what, I think we should go and swim. It's a wonderful night. No one will be there. We'll sleep much better.
Yes, that'd be nice.
I don't think I'll ever go back to England. I don't like the place anyway. I think I'll stay here for the rest of my life.
You'll have to go back.
Why?
Well, if you want a career, you'll have to go back.
Oh, let's not discuss it tonight. Are you cold?
I am a bit chilly, yes.
Well, we'll soon put that right. Walk! Come on. I'm not having you electrocuted in front of me. Come on.
Hey, thought you were keen to get to bed.
Wait me a moment.
What are you doing?
Some notes. I'll join you.
Right. We should get married, you know.
Should we?
Yes, we should. We should go back to England and get married.
I think we're not pulling each other down.
I don't.
People do, you know. Half the time they marry for the wrong reasons. They're looking for some kind of solution, some answer they're looking for.
tell themselves it's what they want.
It's what I want. Anyway, come to bed. Put that down. Come to bed, Philip.
I left England in 1956. I was running away as much as anything. My best friend had killed his wife. He'd met her at Oxford, where she briefly left him for me, and then went back to him again. But she was never very faithful, and in the end, one November night, he shot her, and then shot himself. This wasn't a tragedy I'd anticipated.
Man that is born of woman hath but a short time to live, and is full of misery. He cometh up and is cut down like a flower. He fleeth and never continueth in one stay. In the midst of life we are in death. Of whom may we seek for succour but of thee, O Lord, who for our sins art justly displeased.
As we laid them to rest, the thunder crashed around the heavens. We were all soaked. Umbrellas were useless against a torrent like that.
How was it?
Horrible.
I thought it might be. How's something to eat? There's plenty left.
I know you don't much want to see me, Pa. I mean, I know you were very fond of Anthony. I know what you must be thinking. I thought I ought in all decency to come and say goodbye.
I think you ought to sit down.
I intend to stay away for some years. I'm afraid I've no stomach for this country at the moment.
Oh, nor have I. Eden's making a ridiculous spectacle of himself. The lesson of the war was that the Russians got to Berlin before we did. At the end, Churchill was just making up numbers, which is something that Churchill had the foresight to recognise. Eden seems to believe we rule the world, which we don't anymore, I'm afraid to say. You must think me singularly lacking in spirit, but I'm not a Tory and never have been. I'm an old Gladstonian liberal. And in this instance, Mr. Gaitskell is right, although he might have had the decency to switch sides a little earlier.
Pa,
Philip, listen to me. You were thoughtless. You behaved badly.
Yes, I did.
Now, hear me out. This isn't so very unusual. You're not very old. I was angry, I admit it, but I was rebuking you because I thought no one else would. It's a thing fathers do, as I'm sure you'll one day learn for yourself. What happened? I know the proportions of it horrify you. Now, please listen. You made a mistake. These things happen.
They shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't, but they do. People being what they are. And quite correctly, you reproach yourself for being, for behaving badly. But you're certainly not a murderer. Now, please, listen to me, please. Let me draw a sort of parallel. Eden has got himself involved in a terrible fiasco in Suez. His judgment has been bad. This man who all his career has been in the shadow of Churchill, Churchill's assistant, his deputy, his lackey, his stand-in. But Eden is not a stupid man. He's not a tyrant. He really does not seek to impose some iron will upon the world, but he's got himself locked in a posture, and he looks a fool. Everyone's writing him off. You see what I mean?
I think so.
You're my son, Philip. If in the end you can't expect sympathy from me, well, then we're both in a very sorry state.
I don't know what to do, Pa. I want to apologise. I'd do anything, but they're both dead. I've no idea what to do.
I think going away for a bit's quite a good plan.
I don't intend to come back, well, for some time.
You're worried that I may die?
Yes.
There's not much can be done about that. I expect I'll live a bit longer than you think. Philip, children don't come into this world purely to satisfy the demands of their parents.
Do you honestly mean that?
I did miss him. My first few months on that island were lonely beyond belief. But beneath that, I found a sort of calm, a privacy, an anonymity. To begin with, in the evening, I used to go to a little taverna to drink. There was a man there called Henderson, with black hair and deep blue eyes.
Pull your hair, boy.
I'll have a double scotch.
A bloody great double scotch for my friend there, if you please. I'll have another myself. Bring him over, huh?
I've killed a man, you know. I bet you didn't know that. All the people on this island, they think they know about life and death. They never stop talking what they're going to do, what they're going to achieve. It's all absolute rubbish. They know nothing. You're not yet 30, are you?
25.
Remember this. At 30, life catches up with you. There's no time to be lost. After that... There was a time when at 30 you were damned lucky to be alive. I'm 60. When I go, no one will even know I existed. Life's like that. I've seen more than any man I've ever met. If there was any justice, I'd be a god. But I'm not. I don't mind. I'm not bitter. I'm not resentful. I've had a pretty good crack of the whip. I'm a very simple man. I know nothing about women. People talk too much. That's the truth in it. It's difficult to be happy.
Who did you kill?
Oh, some juju man. He came all singing one morning telling me what to do on my own land. I ordered him off. He threatened me. He raised his hand. I put a bullet through his temple. He went back 3 feet. I remember, with a jump. Huh. You don't see that in the films, do you? It all looks so bloody pleasant. What's this book you're going to write?
Oh, it's nothing.
You can tell me, boy. I won't embarrass you. I don't shout my mouth off like some.
I was with a boy at school. A Stoney's girlfriend. She went back to him. She went back to almost everyone else as well. And he killed her. And he killed himself.
Dramatic?
Yes.
That's a fine story.
I'll do something with it.
Down to earth.
It's true. I shan't tell it how it was, of course.
A little bit of fiction, a little embroidery. You're a bright boy. Don't let it go to waste. Now, will you have Uncle Jack buys the drinks tonight?
There were years of this. It wasn't unpleasant. I wrote. Some of the time. I was drunk quite a bit. This worried me vaguely, and I could see no way out of it. And one light, quiet evening in 1962, Jennifer came into the taverna with all her luggage. She looked breathless. Henderson spotted her.
Hello, young lady.
Hello.
I'm known on this island as Uncle Jack. I'm king of the bloody place. You look pale. There's not much colour in you. Where are you from?
England, I'm afraid.
I guessed it. I knew it.
It rains all the time.
So it does. Tremaine. Over here, boy. There's a nice young English woman I'd like you to meet.
Hello. Philip Tremaine.
Jennifer Weatherby.
Well, it's nice to see someone new. Ignore Jack. He's a boor.
Yeah, yeah.
In both senses of the word.
You bugger off, Tremaine. You bugger off with your nice English woman.
I love that noise. The sound of the sea. In Worcestershire, where my parents live, there's no sound at all at night.
No?
Oh, the occasional bark of a dog. A car goes past. It's all rather eerie.
This is a holiday?
Kind of holiday, yes.
I had an affair with someone. I thought it'd be fun. I'm not very experienced. But it didn't work out at all, and I was ill for a bit. People rallied round the way they do. My father spent his war in Burma, and he thought the sun would be a good idea. Anyway, this is dull.
Oh, not at all. I haven't had a proper conversation in 6 years.
You've been here that long?
That's right.
Oh, you must like it.
Not very much. I drink too much. And too often. I lie about. I've written most of a book. It means a lot of work.
I'm learning to paint. I'm not very good at it. A man I knew was called Freddy. Don't laugh. He would be called Freddy, wouldn't he? He was a bastard. It was nothing to him. If I'd shot him, I'd have wasted a bullet. I have a feeling that I think everyone has. I feel I'm not wanted, that I'm singled out, that everyone is wanted except me. Oh, it's nonsense, really. People complaining because they get their hearts broken. We all think we're unique, I suppose. It's just, I begin to doubt my ability to feel properly. Oh, perhaps it's me. Perhaps I'm what's wrong.
Well, what did he do?
Oh, nothing dramatic. He just walked out. I was making demands, I expect.
Have you found someone else? People invent excuses. They find fault with the people they're with, but in fact it's simply they want to be with someone else. We all behave badly. Only most of us manage. I had a friend. I pinched his girlfriend. She went back to him. But he killed her in the end, and then he killed himself. There were moments since when I thought I was going mad. Thought I was a monster. Well, the truth is, most people don't kill their wives or themselves. We just put up with our unhappiness. Maybe the braver thing to do. Will you come back with me tonight?
Yes.
Good.
3 weeks ago, I promised myself there were going to be no more men, even if it killed me.
I'm glad you changed your mind.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I wouldn't have had the guts.
I've lived like a monk these last few years. I don't know how I found the courage.
God, it's hot.
You'll get used to that. There are people here who say it's paradise.
I know what they mean. You look up through that window and you can see the whole of the sky. The stars. It's incredible.
It's nice.
Oh, I'm happy, Philip. I'm terribly, terribly happy.
By 1964, we'd been living together for 2 years. Each morning I watched the ferry chug peacefully into the harbour. Sometimes I thought of leaving. Other times I thought, no, you're perfectly happy. Stay in the sun and do nothing. On the morning after the thunder, I remember the sky was extraordinarily clear. We sat on the veranda after breakfast.
Got a hangover?
No.
Thought you might have.
I haven't.
You've never learnt Greek. I don't understand it. To be in this heavenly place and not speak even a few words.
I do speak a few words.
Yes, where can I buy a bottle of scotch? Where's the lavatory?
All right.
I'm sorry to go on at you.
No, it's all good advice.
It's just I want you to be all right.
I am all right.
Philip.
What are you going to do today?
I thought I'd make some sketches.
Oh, it sounds a good plan.
Look, why won't you marry me?
Oh, Jennifer.
Why won't you?
I'm not fit to be married to anyone. I can't live up to what you think of me. One morning you'd wake up out of the blue having seen through me. It's what happens.
If I thought you wanted me to go, I'd go. You keep saying I'm the only thing between you and total ruin. I bring out all the best that's in you. You say if it wasn't for me, you'd never do anything. You might be dead already. It's just that I want you to be happy. I want you to have a good, useful life. I know you could. You could.
Listen. I am a shallow, superficial man without any particular talents. I wish to live a vain, chaotic, idle, hedonistic, undisciplined life. I'm untrustworthy, lazy, cowardly. I betray my friends. I've no capacity for selfless emotion. I know this is true. It's taken me years to find out. Nothing. Nothing in the whole world is going to change it.
Philip. If you want me to go, just tell me. I'm going up to the monastery. I have some sketches to finish. Do you mind if I take my time?
No.
I'll be back to make you some supper. I thought we'd have fish. And I'll get some wine. Look, are you going to be all right? You're not going to mope.
I watched her as she left the house and headed up the little path. I stood for 10 minutes, not moving, thinking. Then I packed as fast as I could, left the house, caught the midday ferry, was in Athens at 6. Before I boarded the plane, I sent my father a cable. He met me at Heathrow the following morning. At home, in my old room, I changed, and then went down and joined him for a drink.
That's a most impressive suntan, by the way.
Out there, everyone has them.
Well, you're in for it back here. Isn't it green? It's not stopped since February. Though they do talk of a wonderful August. This is an unexpected pleasure, you know. I was convinced I'd never see you again. I thought, oh, well, he's become one of those expatriate literary men, and he lies all day in the sun, and when something's finished, he just sends it back. Different world.
I did think of that, but there's been pressure from publishers.
Naturally.
They think I'm a marketable commodity. Oh, I called John Stevenage, by the way, before I came down.
Ah, somewhere in London.
I think I'm going to need it.
Well, it's very much the place.
Well, John's had some Arabs, he says, never again, so it's free more or less at once.
Sounds first rate. Where is this?
Chelsea, Bywater Street.
You've really landed on your feet, haven't you?
Looks like it.
Useful knack to have. Is that the John Stevenage who put padding down his trousers when he was sent to see Mr. Tomkin?
That's right.
Did he get away with it?
Yes, he did.
I'm not surprised. He's nearly a millionaire.
Oh, but shall I get that for you?
Yes, if you would.
Hello? Yes, it is. Ah. Are you in Athens? Yeah, I see. Jennifer, can't... Look, of course you can talk to me. Well, I'll be in London, I think. No, I don't think. I definitely will. Hmm? Yes, of course you can. Oh, it's just off the King's Road, 44 Bywater Street. Look, it's very easy by bus. Are you all right? I'd meet you at the airport, only I'm going to be with my publishers all day. Are you sure?
I assume that was Jennifer.
Yes.
You've just left her, I suppose.
It seemed the kindest thing to do.
Have you ever truly done a kind thing in your life? Commitment, responsibility, you're off like a flash. It's your mother all over. The same easy charm. And you think because you've got charm, you can do as you please. What the hell do you think would have happened if I'd done as I pleased when she went gallivanting off to America with a man everyone knew was as rotten as they come?
You don't know the circumstances, Pa.
I don't need to.
Yes, you do. How can you possibly judge? You've no idea what the situation is.
I know how you treat people.
You haven't seen me in 8 years, for God's sake.
All right, Philip. I may have spoken out of turn. If I'm wrong, I apologize.
I'm going to see her on Thursday, Pa. I'll sort this out. It's not what you think. I promise you.
...to fight on the issues that really matter to the British people and to the world in 1964. We shall not be diverted by...
I'm a bit early.
Oh, it's fine. Do you want a drink? I can mix you a bull shot.
No, thanks.
I think I will.
...of our country.
How did you find me, by the way?
Oh, don't be silly. I've been posting your letters for ages.
Well, sit down. This is the lap of luxury, so enjoy it.
I've done everything I possibly can for you. I've never left you, never been unfaithful. I've listened whenever you wanted to talk. Everything you wanted to discuss, we've discussed. I've advised, listened, talked, helped, comforted, everything. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. You know that. Just to make you happy. Just to... What more can I do? I mean, what more can I possibly do?
This isn't your fault.
I've spent 2 years devoting my life to you. And I've been incredibly happy a lot of the time. I have, you know that. I mean, you must know that. I've thought about you every day, wherever I was, whatever I was doing. All I've ever wanted, was just the satisfaction. Just the satisfaction of knowing you felt the same way about me as I do about you.
Listen.
No, you listen. Just you listen for once. I mean, what's wrong with me? I mean, what do I lack? What is it? You tell me. Because there's something... There must be. I mean, other people have boyfriends, and you can see they're both in love. It's perfectly obvious. But when I fall in love, no one ever loves me back. No one thinks I'm worth loving. No one has any feelings about me at all.
That's simply not true.
Well, what is it? I mean, what sort of a person am I? Should I kill myself? Is that what I should do? I mean, was it really the most dreadful mistake that I ever got born in the first place?
Of course not.
Ever tried to do is to be kind to people. That's all I've ever wanted. I just want the people I'm with to be happy. That's all it is. I'm not asking for anything.
I never meant I wasn't happy with you. You must know that. You made me very, very happy. That's not the difficulty. It's me, Jennifer. You know that very well. I'm the one who's lacking. You know what you feel. You always have. I don't, you see. I find it more difficult. Never mean to hurt you. That's exactly the point.
Do you honestly think we could be happy together, married for a lifetime? Do you really think we could?
We were married 2 days later at a registry office in Kensington. The ceremony took place at 10 in the morning, and we kept it pretty brief. John Stevenage was the best man, and afterwards he gave us a magnum of champagne. Then we borrowed his car, and Jennifer drove me down to Henley. She wanted to meet my father.
Oh, yes, Philip. You look charming as a boy. And that's my father. You don't have elderly parents, do you, Jennifer?
They're halfway.
Really?
Daddy was a brigadier. He fought in Burma, under Wavell, I think it was.
Yes, he would be under Wavell. I don't suppose he had much time for him.
That's right. How did you know?
Everyone who fought in India under Wavell thought he was burned out. What did your mother do?
Mummy drove an ambulance during the Blitz. Apparently the warden said she was the fastest driver in London. She went like a bat out of hell. She still does. We've got an Austin. She terrifies Dad. I won't drive with her. I think she's a menace.
Philip doesn't drive.
Pa has strong views on this. I once rode off a huge motor moor.
He offered to pay for it, but I hadn't the heart to hold him to it.
Well, he's going to learn now. I shall make him. You need to drive in this country.
Well, I'm quite happy using the buses.
Oh, it's ridiculous not to be able to drive.
Well, you can use public transport. That's what it's for.
Yes, but only in London.
Oh, an argument. That's what marriage is all about.
Sorry.
Pa likes people contradicting each other.
Well, I do like a debate, I admit.
Philip's very strong-minded. You've got to argue with him.
That's what I've always found.
She was tired that evening and went up to bed early. I had a nightcap with my father.
Well, I think you've chosen splendidly. She's a sweet girl.
Yes, she is.
I saw you got married so quickly. I'd like to have met everyone.
We shall have a big party, so don't you worry.
You seem happy. Are you happy?
Oh, I think so.
You've no idea of the reflected glory I get. Are you the father of that terribly good writer? I'm not very modest about it, I'm afraid.
I think I'm going to be doing some television.
You didn't say.
It may not come off, but they think I'm quite good at dialogue. And, of course, there's the money.
It's very important.
I'd like to buy a flat. Somewhere we can make a nest. It's what Jennifer wants, really. She'll have a wonderful time doing it up. To be honest, it'll be nice to settle down.
I think you're going to be very happy.
I hope so. She does deserve it.
So do you, my boy.
We bought a flat. And for those first few years, things seemed to work tolerably. Jennifer stripped the place from top to bottom, and when she'd finished, I was amazed at how elegant it looked. Pictures began to sell, and I went on writing. Between us, there was always quite a bit of money. One evening in 1967, I got home rather late. We were due at a literary reception somewhere.
Hello, love. Sorry I'm a bit late. I was talking shop with John. Do you want a drink?
No, I bloody well will. I'm knackered.
Oh, this bloody series on Goethe. They want to cast stars. I said, look, you cast stars, the budget goes up, they're unreliable. These days they go off down the Amazon when they should be in the studio, and look, everyone knows who they are. I mean, you simply can't come on claiming to be Goethe or Beethoven or Schiller or anyone for that matter if you look like Julie Christie.
Oh, is she up for the part?
Oh, you know what I mean. It's no good. Cast unknowns and make them stars is what I say. Hey, love, that's really good. That's not bad at all. Sorry to be so slow off the mark. It's one of your best.
I think the paint may be getting to me. I feel a bit ill. Not sure all this concentration all day, hour after hour, is really a terribly good idea.
Yeah, I should take it easy.
Suppose you've had a drink or two?
No, you have to if you want to talk shop. I mean, it's the only way you can keep your temper.
No, it's not.
Are you coming tonight?
No.
No, for God's sake, why not?
Because I don't want to.
You never do anything with me these days. I go everywhere alone. Keep being asked to things and you won't go to them. It's not easy continually thinking up excuses. It makes me feel bloody idiotic.
That's all that worries you, isn't it? You feel bad.
Come on, love.
Well, it is. I'm not spending the rest of my life traipsing round after you. I've got better things to do.
Oh, yes. What exactly?
I've got a new exhibition to prepare. It can't be churned out by the yard like these things on Goethe or Julie Christie or whoever it is, and I'm short of time.
Oh, I see. I see. I'm a hack, am I, and you're not.
Well, let's not squabble about the terminology.
God almighty, it's not as if I've done anything to you, is it? I mean, I only married you. That's all I've done.
Look, shut up, Philip. If you want a row, we'll have it in the morning.
I don't want a row. That's just the point. I'm going out, and I'd like you to come with me, because you're a credit to me. That's what I think. I'm proud to be seen with you.
That's hardly surprising.
What do you mean?
You look a shambles most of the time, don't you? You might think once in a while about how I feel when I have to go somewhere with you.
Right. Well, I'll see you later. And if I stay out all night, I don't expect to find you whining and moping when I get back.
It had become an art, slamming the door so fast that she hadn't time to answer. I didn't go to the reception. I felt sorry for myself and spent the evening in a bistro nearby. Well, I knew the manager was friendly. I drank two bottles of wine. That didn't feel much like drinking. At 11, I gave up and went back.
This is your celebrity speaking, my darling. Not the hack, the other one. Your famous husband, true to form, is back once more. Not answering? Fine. Gone to bed, have you? Above it all, I suppose. Right, well, that's nothing new, is it?
Oh, my God.
It looks worse than it is.
There's blood.
Not very much.
It is blood.
I was sticking on some paint and the knife slipped. It's all right.
Are you sure?
Quite sure.
Gave me a hell of a shock.
I'm not feeling well. I'd like you to call the doctor.
What? It's 11 o'clock at night.
There'll be somebody on standby.
Why, are you sure that's what you want me to do?
Quite sure.
He won't be pleased, you know. He may not even answer.
Just do it, will you?
Look, I can bandage that. I'm rather good at that kind of thing.
It's got nothing to do with my hand.
What?
Tell him I feel rather dizzy. As if there's a piece of plate glass down between me and the rest of the world.
You're tired, love.
That's not what's wrong.
Oh, come on. We all feel a bit like that sometimes.
You may, but I don't.
Well, what do you want him to do? I mean, there's not much he can do, surely.
Just ring him.
I can't just ring him. I mean, what the hell do I say?
Say, I think it's something serious.
Serious?
Yes.
Well, in what way, love?
I think I'm going utterly out of my mind with unhappiness!
Philip Tremaine speaking. I'd like the doctor to come out. Yes, I understand that. I think it's very urgent indeed. Yes, okay, I'll hold. Love, I think you ought to talk to him, and then I'll talk to him myself. Now, don't worry. He'll be here tonight. I'm not going to let him off the hook.
I know you're not allowed to read, but I brought you some prints you can look at. They were going to be an anniversary present, but I thought they'd do now. Anyway, how are you?
I'm a lot calmer.
You look a lot better.
I'm sedated, for God's sake.
They tell me you've got to get lots and lots of sleep.
Are you managing?
Oh, I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
I do worry. You're not very good on your own.
Managing fine, my love, honestly.
Good.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to show you this.
someone thinks you're a genius. I was hanging about waiting for the doctor, and this was open. A chair in front of me. Yes, do you want me to read it for you?
No, I think it'll keep till I'm a bit more on the ball.
Well, this man thinks you're frightfully good.
Have they said anything about when I can get out of here?
Old Maxwell's being a bit cagey, but he says it shouldn't be longer than another week or two.
That's good.
I thought perhaps when you get out, we should go to Greece for a bit. Lie in the sun, just do what we want.
I may go away on my own, actually, Philip.
Yeah, well, whatever you think.
How's work?
Work's all right. Seem quite happy with my efforts. Well, hope you're feeling a bit better.
I am.
I hope so. Blame myself, you know.
I shouldn't do that.
Well, we'd better get back in. They get very cross if they think you're getting tired. I'll be back tomorrow. If you want anything, just ask.
Oh, I'll be okay.
In front of me, I still see that wine dark sea. I remember the only perfect happiness I've ever known. I recall those hot, humid nights when we lay under a huge window and reach out and touch each other. Your health. You're very good health. Yeah.
In Jennifer, Ronald Pickup was Philip Tremaine, and Brenda Blethyn Jennifer. Philip's father was played by Patrick Troughton, Henderson by Peter Woodthorpe, the priest by Brian Smith, and the consultant by Richard Durden. The play was written by Andrew Rissick and directed by Jeremy Mortimer.